Good morning, Symphony Church. We are continuing in the book of 1 Samuel, and I'll be reading for us 1 Samuel chapter 13. Saul lived for 1 year and then became king. And when he had reigned for 2 years over Israel, Saul chose 3,000 men of Israel. 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and the hill country of Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin. The rest of the people he sent home, every man to his tent. Jonathan defeated the garrison of the Philistines that was at Geba, and the Philistines heard of it. And Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." And all Israel heard it and said that Saul had defeated the garrison of the Philistines, and also that Israel had become a stench to the Philistines. And the people were called out to join Saul at Gilgal. And the Philistines mustered to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots, and 6,000 horsemen, and troops like the sand on the seashore in multitude. They came up and encamped in Michmash to the east of Bethaven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in trouble, for the people were hard pressed, the people hid themselves in caves and in holes and in rocks and in tombs and in cisterns, and some Hebrews crossed the fords of the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. Saul was still at Gilgal, and all the people followed him, trembling. He waited 7 days, the time appointed by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. So Saul said, "Bring the burnt offering here to me, and the peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. As soon as he had finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him and greet him. Samuel said, "What have you done?" And Saul said, "When I saw that the people were scattering from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines had mustered at Michmash, I said, 'Now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the favor of the Lord.' So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God with which he commanded you. For then the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." And Samuel arose and went up from Gilgal. The rest of the people went up after Saul to meet the army. They went up from Gilgal to Gibeah of Benjamin. And Saul numbered the people who were present with him, about 600 men. And Saul and Jonathan his son and the people who were present with them stayed in Geba of Benjamin, but the Philistines encamped in Michmash. And raiders came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned toward Ophrah, to the land of Shual. Another company turned toward Beth Horon, and another company turned toward the border that looks down on the valley of Zeboim toward the wilderness. Now there was no blacksmith to be found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, "Lest the Hebrews make themselves swords or spears." But every one of the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen his plowshare, his mattock, his axe, or his sickle. And the charge was 2/3 of a shekel for the plowshares and for the mattocks, and 1/3 of a shekel for sharpening the axes and for setting the goads. So on the day of the battle, there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people with Saul and Jonathan, but Saul and Jonathan, his son, had them. And the garrison of the Philistines went out to the pass of Michmash. So we come across an important passage this morning in the book of 1 Samuel. We read of the circumstances that actually lead to Saul committing an act of great sin against the Lord, one that would forfeit his position as God's favored on the throne of Israel. And at first glance, actually, it may not seem like Saul does anything out of the ordinary here. He wins a battle against the Philistines, championed by his son Jonathan. He gets ready for another battle with the Philistines. He offers a sacrifice to the Lord, and then he prepares for the battle some more. But within those series of events, Saul actually reveals that his heart is not in submission with the Lord. I think Saul makes two mistakes here, one more condemning than the other. First, and most obvious in our passage, Saul chooses to offer a sacrifice in preparation for the battle with the Philistines. Now, remember that at this point in the story of Israel, the spiritual authority to offer sacrifices had been bestowed exclusively to the priests. Especially when it concerns something as momentous as a great battle involving the army of Israel, the act of offering a sacrifice, it wasn't just a casual ceremony. In this case, Saul needed to have waited for Samuel to come and to preside over the offering. Saul does not wait. And to be honest, it makes sense why. At least I can sympathize with Saul. Picture being in his shoes in this moment. You and your army of 3,000 look out at the Philistines' army of 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and troops like the sand on the seashore. It's such a fearsome sight that some of your troops actually flee and hide and desert their positions. The ones that are left are looking to you because you led them to victory before as God's chosen king, and now you'll have to do it again. And the battle is drawing nearer and nearer, and it's been 7 days, and Samuel is nowhere to be found. I think we can all recognize that Saul was feeling the crushing weight of expectation. And because this weight becomes too great a source of pressure, he cracks under it, and he chooses to forgo waiting for Samuel. After all, he might have thought, if the end goal is to win God's favor, then I should be a good enough replacement for Samuel, right? As long as the offering is made. And so Saul's first mistake was running out of patience. He took matters into his own hands instead of waiting in a way that would honor the Lord. Furthermore, by offering the sacrifice himself, Saul revealed that he had been blinded by his panic and his self-reliance, and he reduced God's favor down to a formula involving a sacrifice. He didn't consider that God knew his heart, that God didn't want an offering, he wanted obedience. And in that regard, Saul failed. So Saul commits a harsh blunder, to say the least, but as Samuel finally arrives and confronts him of his sin, Saul follows his first mistake with an even worse one. You see, Saul not only offers a sacrifice against the Lord's commands, but once he is rebuked, he remains unrepentant. When Samuel calls out Saul for his actions, Saul proceeds to throw out excuses. He says, "When I saw that the people were scattering from me and that you did not come within the days appointed and that the Philistines had mustered at Michmash, I said, 'Now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the favor of the Lord.' And so I forced myself and offered the burnt offering." In essence, he was saying, "My troops were running away. It's their fault. You were late, Samuel. I waited for you 7 days. It's your fault. The Philistines were too strong. I had no choice." Instead of repenting and understanding the sin behind his actions, Saul chooses to point fingers. He blames everyone and everything but himself. He doesn't seek the Lord's forgiveness or ask Samuel what he should do. Actually, after Samuel tells him what will happen now because of his disobedience, Saul just goes right back to preparing for the battle, as if these things that Samuel said don't matter, as if he never really believed that God was the reason he had been victorious. He simply went back to counting his men and taking stock of their weapons, as if men and weapons were the reason Israel was where they were at. Saul's actions put into motion a series of events that ends with him becoming an enemy of the Lord's anointed. To be honest, I'm not sure if at this point in time Saul still had a chance to be redeemed. Maybe if he had fallen to his knees right there in front of Samuel and cried out to the Lord in repentance, things would have gone differently. But the truth is that by the time Saul's faith was put to the test in our passage today, he was likely already doomed to fail. You see, Saul wasn't just this otherwise holy king that had an out-of-character moment. His act of sin here is the result of repeated, consistent self-centeredness and a refusal to know the Lord. Because things were going well for Saul up to this point, he had made the mistake of letting his reliance on the Lord fall away. Instead, he gave himself glory. He began to trust in his own power and his own wisdom and his own abilities. Because Saul wasn't faithful when things were going well, he was unable to be faithful when the trials came. My hope for you is that things are going well for you right now. I know for me, this past month has actually been a really great time of rest and refocusing, and I had a lot more space to breathe. And I hope your circumstances are likewise, whoever you are, wherever you are. But more than that, I hope that you're really practicing faithfulness in the good times. I hope that you're working out your faith, taking advantage of the time and the resources and the community that God has placed around you to strengthen your reliance on Him. You know, it would be silly for a firefighter to say, "There are no fires right now, so why should I practice putting them out? I'll figure it out once I have to." That would be silly, wouldn't it? A good firefighter, a responsible one, would take advantage of the peace and quiet to prepare themselves for the trouble that's bound to come. In the same way, let's not be complacent. Let's not just wait until we're desperate and the circumstances give us no choice but to rely on the Lord. Jesus is available for you to go deeper with Him right now. And an intimate, personal relationship with Him through falling in love with Scripture and devoting yourself to earnest prayer, that'll be what helps you in the trials ahead. I hope that you can take advantage of these good times. Let's pray. Lord, we commit this to You. We ask that You help us. May Your Spirit convict us to not just wait until our hand is forced, not just wait until we're crying out. But even before then, I pray that in the good times, for those of us who are in the good times, that we can be faithful still. Help us, Lord. Help us to really, really, really value Your word, to really value spending time with You in prayer and in seeking Your Spirit. And would You help us, God? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.